County District Library. Good morning, Shannon.
Yes, hello, good morning.
So we are having we'll have some fun today. We've got some good programming coming up. We've got some exciting news about the library with Molly Idle coming tomorrow and everything. So anyway, so Nicole, what have you been reading, listening to? It looks like you have a blog up there.
A podcast.
A podcast.
Yes, this is a podcast. I have had some good conversations with my friends lately about different podcasts that they listen to. And a lot of us who are, you know, big readers enjoy our podcast to also tell us a story. Mm-hmm. And so you've heard me talk about one of my favorite Instagram personalities before. Her Instagram handle is at Sharon Says So, and her name is Sharon McMahon. She's a former high school government teacher, but very much a lover of learning and a knower of all things. She has a background in constitutional law, so she knows lots of wonderful things. She rose to fame during kind of a lot of the confusion when people were like, can we do this with elections? Can this happen with, you know, how does a president, if a president dies, who succeeds them? I mean, they were asking a lot of questions that as grown-ups, you know, you learned when, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago for some of us, you know. And so that's how she rose to fame. So now she's got a podcast out. It's the Sharon Says So podcast, and you can listen to it on basically all platforms where you consume podcasts. But what she does is she tells very good stories. Yeah. And so what she's doing is she's working through every state in the union with a very good story from that state. They're very easy to consume, 30 to 40 minutes at the most. And then she peppers those in with little interviews for other notable people who can also teach you a little thing or two. But so she talks about episode one is Alabama, the man who almost wasn't vice president. Do you know who that one might be about?
Who almost wasn't vice president,
yes.
From Alabama.
This is the life and legacy of William Rufus King, the 13th Vice President of the United States of America.
Oh, geez. Oh,
William Rufus King.
I can't believe I forgot
right?
him. Yes.
And so these, you know, this kind of stuff is like the subject of a lot of her stories. It's unknowns in American history mm-hmm. who have made a big difference, but you would never really recognize their name. Episode two, she goes to Alaska because she's going in alphabetical order. How else?
We won't be on for a while.
Right. And this one is she's talking about the sled dogs who saved a village. So this is the story of, we know the Iditarod, we know the sled dogs and the mushing and things like that in Alaska. The name Balto might sound familiar if you are familiar with maybe the Disney movie or the movie that was made about Balto's life. But do you know why the dogs had to make such a rush to get to this very specific town?
About some vaccine or...
There was a health crisis.
There was
a health crisis, and the town doctor was trying to treat this unknown illness, and it was a town of 1,400 people who were facing a very short lifespan if they didn't get a vaccine. And so getting it through the Alaskan wilderness was, you know, the reason why these dogs were making it. But here's a spoiler. Balto is not the one who really saved the day. One that I thought was really fascinating was the story of Arizona and the individual who the focus of that one was. His name is, I believe it's Emmanuel Miranda. And
Ernesto.
Ernesto. Thank you. Yes. Ernesto Miranda.
Know, yes.
Yes. This is the story of where Miranda rights come from. Mm-hmm. He was a despicable human.
Right.
It's really terrible that his name is associated with such a thing that's so common today in law.
I prefer to think of them as your Carmen Miranda rights.
There you go.
You have the right to wear a fruity hat. You have the right to sing in Portuguese. You
know, beautiful. Sort of, yes. So. Yes. fun fact, but that one, he actually, he was in prison and you know, with the Supreme Court, a lot of times they're not deciding whether or not, you know, a person is guilty. They're deciding the merits of a case. And
right.
So with Ernesto's case, it was, did he get his rights properly told to him? And the Supreme Court's answer was no, which is where the Miranda rights come from. Mm-hmm. And so he's in prison, but his name is famous now. People would be arrested after the Supreme Court made their decision. They would come to prison with their Miranda rights card that had been handed to them, and he was autographing them. despicable. So anyway, that's what I've been binging lately. It's really worth a listen if you have the time. You can find it on any major podcast. It's the Sharon Says So podcast. podcast, and many of the guests that she is interviewing also have books that they've written. So there's your library tie-in.
Ah, great. Shannon, I see you've got a book with a really bright red cover.
Yes, it is very red. So if you remember nothing else, it is a book with a red cover.
That's what a lot of people remember when they come into the library.
Yes.
I don't remember the title or the author, but it had a red cover.
Yes, so. Exactly. So this is a young adult novel. It's called The Girls I've Been by Tess Sharp. It is about three teens who they are going to a bank to deposit money that they raised in a fundraising campaign. And while they are there, the bank is robbed. So they become hostages in this bank robbery. Yeah. And what they don't know is that our main protagonist, her name is Nora, one of the teens who they have taken as a hostage, is actually the daughter of a con artist.
Oh.
And so she
knows a thing or two.
And so she decides to use her skills against the bank robbers.
Oh, I love it.
Sounds like fun.
It is very fun. Yeah. And so the title, The Girls I've Been, is that while she's in the bank, you know, trying to figure out you know, what the bank robbers are doing and how she can, like, kind of trick them, you're also going back in time and learning about the different girls that she's been throughout her life, because her mom would have her play different, like, characters as they, like, moved around.
Wow.
Yeah, so it is really interesting. The little tagline is three teens, two bank robbers, and one way out.
Ooh.
So it's very fun.
It's fun. It seems like it reads fast. Like
yes.
It's like
yes.
A little bit of a thriller.
Definitely a thriller. Very quick, short chapters. You know, you got to keep going to figure out what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It also sounds like it'd make a heck of a good movie.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Great. So it's called The Girls I've Been by Tess Sharp, and that's Sharp with an E at the end.
Yes.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, so this week I read an Alex Award-winning graphic novel, and I mentioned it's an Alex Award-winning graphic novel because one of the people on the Alex jury is Shannon Schilling.
Yes, I was on the committee that chose this book as a winner.
Yeah, this book is called Kent State, Four Dead in Ohio, and you have to be careful saying it because you want to do it like Crosby, Stills,
yeah.
Four Dead in Ohio.
In Ohio.
But this is an amazing graphic novel. It was written by Durf Beck, whose real first name is John, but he always writes under Durf Beck Durf.
Mm-hmm.
This came out last year. On May 4th, 1970, the Ohio National Guard troops shot and killed four students at Kent State following a demonstration against the expansion of the Vietnam War into Cambodia. This graphic novel covers the 3 days leading up to that tragic day. Mm-hmm. And it might seem like a strange topic for a graphic novel, but it really works. First, the book is extensively researched and footnoted. Although some of the conversations are recreations, all of the book is based on eyewitness accounts, detailed research, and investigations. And there are 25 pages of notes at the end of the book. And in fact, nearly every frame in this graphic novel is documented.
Mm-hmm.
It refers back to one or the other of the investigations that were done. Second thing that gives it real credibility is the fact that Durf actually grew up in Cleveland and understands northeastern Ohio, that vibe between the urban, suburban, mm-hmm. rural, the agricultural service, industrial industries. And finally, the art that he uses kind of mirrors the vibe of the underground comics of the late 60s and early 70s. So all of that comes together to become a really fine work of art. The book is not just a neutral retelling of the facts. He has a point of view, and he doesn't pretend to, like, journalistic objectivity. But again, as I said, everything in here is footnoted and really carefully documented. He notes that the National Guard troops that were deployed to Kent were exhausted after days of trying to keep the peace during a strike by Teamster truck drivers. They were being replaced by non-union drivers, and there was a lot of violence and name-calling and rocks and fights and things like that. They'd been pummeled for days by these Teamsters. They'd been cursed and struck and with bottles and clubs. They were just kind of burned out. He also notes that the troops had almost no training in crowd control, that they were combat troops. That's what they were trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they were led by a commander with no combat or crowd control experience, although he had commanded the unit that had crushed a riot in inner city Cleveland in 1966. He's extremely critical of Governor Rhodes. Rhodes was term limited as governor in 1970, and he was losing a primary battle to run for the U.S. Senate on the Republican ticket. He was losing to Robert Taft. He thought that by acting really tough against these anti-war protesters at Kent, he might make up some of the ground that he was losing to Taft. And the thing that's so tragic about this is no one really knows if there was ever an order to fire. No, it's just impossible to know. Mm-hmm. And the people who do know either are not talking now or took the secret to their grave. I mean, this was 51 years ago. A lot of the people who were involved have died since then. This has been a point of disagreement and litigation for nearly half a century. All that's really known is that there were 67 shots fired in 15 seconds. And just like that, four students were dead, another was paralyzed for life, and eight more were badly wounded. Most of the people who were shot were not even protesters. They were people going from class to class.
Right.
And one of the students who died was actually an ROTC student who was just walking between classes. Mm-hmm. He was over a football field away from the demonstration when he was shot and
killed. A stray bullet?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
ish, out of 67.
I don't think it was a stray bullet. They weren't firing in the air. Uh-uh. No one was ever held accountable. I mean, they finally settled the lawsuits in 1979, but there were nobody took accountability. And again, a lot of the evidence that should have been collected right at the scene disappeared. And there were also a lot of informants for the FBI, for the CIA, working on campus at that time, because there had been a large Students for Democratic Society and Weathermen, who were the radical left-wing fringe that had been operating on campus, although they were pretty much gone by the time mm-hmm. this happened. So anyway, it is an amazing book. It is a fast read, except you keep wanting to stop and think about what you're reading. Mm-hmm. And again, it's called Kent State, Four Dead in Ohio. Durf is again the author. He's also I'm going to go back and read My Friend Dahmer.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
It's good. It's so creepy.
On the show, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's a good one. It is creepy, but mm-hmm. it's very interesting.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, gives a good backstory.
I'm really interested in going back and taking a look at the.
I will say, as someone who grew up in Northeast Ohio, reading his stuff, both My Friend Dahmer and Kent State, like I recognize things that he's illustrating. Yeah. It's so cool.
He does. He incorporates, really, and pictures, original pictures. You can see mm-hmm. what he used mm-hmm. from his research as
well. Yeah, and I lived on Kent's campus for 2 years. So reading that book, I was like, I recognize so much of this.
Uh-huh. Yep. The back cover is the famous picture of the girl over the body of her friend who'd been killed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a graphic novel version of that. It's not a photo of it.
Right.
It's not the actual newspaper. So anyway, highly recommended. Kent State, Four Dead in Ohio by Durf Back Durf, graphic novel available at your Delaware County District Library. And the reason I found this was it was on our staff pick shelf.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place to find stuff you might not expect to like.
That's right.
So anyway, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with Shannon Schilling to talk about upcoming events at the Delaware County District Library, specifically stuff for teens. So stay tuned. Okay, Dave, we like your forecast because of our program tomorrow. If you're listening on Friday, this is Saturday morning at 10 a.m. at our Orange Library, the Imagination Garden, Molly Idol, our first outdoor, in-person, big program, and we are really looking forward to seeing her. So please, we ask for reservations, but if you didn't make a reservation, we probably can find space for you on the lawn.
We're not going to have a person at the door asking if you're on the list.
Right, yes.
That's the best way of saying it.
Right. So Molly Idol is a children's author, especially for very young kids, does books with no words.
Yeah.
Words you can, with beautiful illustrations where you can come up with your own story to go mm-hmm. with them. So we're really looking forward to seeing her tomorrow. So Shannon, we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up with teen services. So,
we do, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about August 14th.
Yes, so next Saturday, August 14th, is Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is...
it's George's dream.
Free Comic Book Day is something that comic shops around the country have been doing for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the 20 years.
The 20th anniversary, mm-hmm. right.
And occasionally libraries get to join in on the fun. So we are joining them this year. So it's Saturday, August 14th, all day. We will have free comics at all four of our branches. And we are also encouraging people to pick up comics from the Flying Monkey comics and games. Mm-hmm. And so these are just single issue comics. You're not getting like a bound volume from the library collection. They're single issue comics.
They're teasers. They're yes. ready to get people yes. interested in these things.
Yeah. And we have titles for all ages. I know we have Lumberjanes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. My Little Pony.
All right.
X-Men. I think there's a Blade Runner. Ooh. So we have a there's a really good variety. We have like 23 different titles. We
wow.
have hundreds
wow.
of them. Yeah.
Where did they come from? Where did all these titles come from?
They came from, I actually won something on Twitter. I won a little giveaway from Diamond, which is a comics publisher.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They sent me all these boxes for free.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And so no matter where you are, no matter what DCDL branch you go to, any branch on Saturday, August 14th is participating in Free Comic Book Day. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to Flying Monkey. Could we go to all of them? Could somebody like branch hop if they wanted to?
Definitely, yeah. And I think that Flying Monkey will have different titles than we do.
Oh, neat.
So I would definitely suggest going everywhere. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm sure you could also, if you were really into it, I'm sure comic shops like down in Columbus are participating. Like it's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the if you don't know, Flying Monkey is in the shopping center where Kroger and Walmart are mm-hmm. on Columbus Pike.
Yes.
Of course, Molly's husband used to work at Laughing Ogre down in Clintonville, which is the big comic shop in Central Ohio. So, yeah, hit them all. What the heck? That's what they're there for. So,
yeah, it's usually I think the first time it's been in August. It's usually the first Saturday in May.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, everything's different this year and last year. So, yeah, we really want to help it to be successful since it's happening at a different time than it usually does. So. Definitely go to as many comic shops as you can.
And what a perfect, you know, union of the cosmos that you win all these free comics and that this is happening in August and then we get to help support it with such a great local partner in Flying Monkey Comic and Games.
Yeah.
Right. So you also have something in front of you there about the Buckeye Book Award. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Buckeye Book Award, I think I've talked about it on our show before. Mm-hmm. It is an award that is voted on just by Ohio students, Ohio children, in grades K through 12. So there's four levels, and then each level there are five books chosen as a nominee for the award, and then kids read them, and they get to vote on the winner. So we have the list in front of us. We were going to talk about some of the teen titles, I think. Some of the, these are the 2021 nominees, which kids can vote on from September 1st to November 10th.
Okay.
So voting is not open yet.
So, but you have a book list of this, and I assume that that's probably somewhere at the children's desk as well.
So yes, it is.
People can go pick up the book award. Maybe I'll put it in one of my columns for the upcoming week in the Gazette, and then people can like spend August doing some reading, and then you know September they can start voting. But they have all the way until November 10th. So
yes,
yeah.
So what are the titles that are nominated for the teen book?
So the teen, this is grades 9 through 12. We have Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo, The Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes, The Girl in the White Van by April Henry, Be Not Far From Me by Mindy McGinnis, and The Invincible Summer of Juniper Jones by Devin McQueen.
Okay, ooh, that's a fun name.
I have to say I'm rooting for Mindy.
I know.
She's been on the show several times.
Yeah.
She's done stuff for the library. So I got to say I'm rooting for her. I'll admit it. I'm not neutral.
She's a hometown girl.
Exactly.
You know? So. But not all of these authors are necessarily.
No.
These are just popular titles for Ohio students.
Yeah. They don't have to have any connection to Ohio. They just are recommended by Ohio teachers, librarians, and students.
Right.
Yep.
But if you have a local an Ohio teacher who's really pushing local authors, like Mindy McGinnis, maybe, they have a good chance of making the list.
The thing I love about the Buckeye Book Awards is it's actually voted on by the people who they're intended for.
Right.
That's always been my problem with the Caldecott and the Newbery.
Yeah.
They're chosen by librarians, and they pick things that kids should like. These are things kids do like.
Right. So. I mean, if you look at the grades K through 2, One of the ones on the list is a fifth in the series. It's the fifth in the Narwhal and Jelly series, and it's Happy Narwhala Days.
Yeah. It's love that series.
I don't know if that's going to win a Calicut, but...
I can tell you it's not, yeah. But, you know, it's sort of like the difference between the People's Choice Awards and the Emmys or the Oscars.
Exactly.
So I love that. That's been going on. And it's been going on for quite a while now, the Buckeye Book Awards. So,
have you read any of the teen ones for grades 9 through 12?
I have read two of them so far. I've read The Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes and Be Not Far From Me by Mindy McGinnis.
Okay.
The Inheritance Games is about a girl who inherits a fortune from a man that she has never met and has to figure out why.
Okay.
And then, of course, all of his family is, you know, they're very questioning of who she is and why she got the money. So it's also some drama and mystery there. And then... Of course, our favorite, Mindy McGinnis, Be Not Far From Me is about a girl who goes on a camping trip with her friends and gets left behind and is trying to survive out in the wilderness for a few days. I can't remember how many days she's out there.
You know, we were saying it's like Lord of the Flies meets Wild. It's probably more like Hatchet meets Wild, kids and alone in the wilderness.
She's out on her own trying to survive. Like, she doesn't have a phone. She doesn't have shoes.
Oh, no.
Is the other thing.
And Naked and Afraid. There we go. Add it all.
So, yeah, if you're into like survival adventure kind of stories, that's a really good one.
Cool. Great.
Okay, that sounds really good. Well, thank you very much, Shannon. I really appreciate that. We've got a couple of things coming up at the library this week that I just want to mention. Community stops are out with the Bookmobile again. And on Monday, the Bookmobile will be on Lewis Center Road in Galena. Now, that's on the Delaware County District Library side of Galena, as opposed to the Sunbury side. But this is they'll be there from 10:30 to 11:30 at 4171 Lewis Center Road. It's a great opportunity to have the library come to you. We also have Vicky's afternoon book group coming up this week on both the afternoon and the evening. They're going to be reading The Lost Man by Jane Harper. Mm-hmm. That's Wednesday from 1 to 2 or from 6 to 7, whichever works better for your schedule. And those are registration events, so you want to register so you can get the Zoom link for those, because those are online. And we're also doing a maker studio on Tuesday.
That one's in person.
Oh, that is in person.
Yep, just switched it over. We looked, no one was registered, and we were like, you know what? Come on in.
Come on in. Come and find out what our maker studio is like at the Delaware Library. I took our board president through there, and Kellen gave him a tour the other day. And Michael was quite blown away by everything that they're doing in that.
Most people are. It's a gem. So stop in and see it inside the Delaware Main Library. But if you want a guided tour, Tuesday, August 10th at 6 o'clock.
And so we'll be more than happy to welcome you back. You will come in when you see in the library now because of the higher level of transmittal in Delaware County. Staff is wearing masks again.
Mm-hmm.
We do encourage you to wear a mask. It's not required. There's no mandate for the public to wear it. We do encourage it, though. They are available. If you don't have one with you, you can pick one up at the library. And, of course, we got the hand sanitizer still out and everything as well. So be patient with us. We're being patient with you.
So, exactly.
Thank you very much, Nicole.
Always a pleasure.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Shannon, thank you so much for everything, not only today, but everything you do for teens in Delaware. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
Always a great work behind the board for us. We really appreciate it. Thanks to our friends at the library. And we look forward to when we see you in the stacks.